your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender.
Alabama News Network. I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. Upgraded charges for William Chase Johnson, the 18-year-old accused of shooting and killing Lowndes County Sheriff John Williams. Lowndes County District Attorney Charlotte Tesmer says Johnson's charges have been upgraded to capital murder. He is being held without bond. Montgomery police are investigating an armed robbery Monday night. Police say a man was robbed at gunpoint in the 900 block of Ann Street while trying to sell electronics. The man was not injured. So far, no arrests have been made. And Macon County Sheriff Andre Brunson tells us that someone broke into the Macon County Road and Bridge department shop and then set a dump truck on fire. This happened at the shop on Alabama Highway 199. No one was hurt. So far, no arrests have been made. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. The following statement is from a paparazzi who claims to have witnessed Hulu's reality TV house party.
All right, so here's some Bravo drama. I catch Melissa Gorga going from her hotel to this party in Beverly Hills, and the first thing I see when I get there is Jax Taylor leaving. They say he got into some argument with Captain Lee over their social media feud, or could have been a beef with James Kennedy. Whatever, I got the shot.
Reality or not, we'll never know. What we do know, Hulu has reality TV. Start your free trial today. Learn more at Hulu.com.
Pros, for the brands you trust to get the job done right, start with Lowe's, because Lowe's has the power you need and at the right prices. Stop in today and pick up a Metabo HPT 1¾-inch 15-degree pneumatic roofing nailer for $40 less, now just $249. And stock up on saw blades and save $4 on a Spider Framing and Construction 7¼-inch 24-tooth steel circular saw blade, now $5.98. Whatever you need to get the job done, and every job after, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid 12/5 through 12/11 U.S. only.
Sometimes you need things done around your house or land that your lawnmower or weed eater just can't handle. That's when you call Prattville Farm Center. They bring their own crew and equipment and clear whatever you need. They say no job is too small. I've been going to Prattville Farm Center for years, and I like dealing with hometown folks. They get the job done right and get it done quickly. If you have land that needs clearing, call Randy at Prattville Farm Center on South Memorial Drive in Prattville. Call 365-5400.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Congressional Democrats yesterday issued a 300-page long case for impeaching the president.
This report chronicles a scheme by the president of the United States to coerce an ally.
President Trump is meeting NATO leaders in London, demanding they pay their fair share to fund the security alliance.
Larry Page has stepped down as the CEO of the Google parent company Alphabet.
There's one fewer Democrat running for president. Kamala Harris ended her campaign yesterday.
The U.S. is threatening tariffs up to 100% on French imports, including wine and handbags.
Several types of ready-to-eat salads, sushi, and spring rolls produced by Fuji Food Products have been pulled from shelves as part of a voluntary recall due to possible listeria.
The record for the Cannonball Run has been broken. It took the drivers just 27 hours and 25 minutes to go from coast to coast.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Wednesday. 272-9228. Any caller can get in on the Squeak Farm like a gift basket. If you're a first-time caller, your name will go in twice, like Diane, who won the Squeak Farm like a gift basket. $60 worth of goodies that you put in there from Sweet Creek Farm Market. Great place to go. You need to go by and visit them. Okay, I want to get this last cut in after Joey answers the phone here. Nope. And now this is the conclusion here. And listen to how Chuck Todd ends this. This speaks volumes to me.
What it sort of sounds like is the Democrats are afraid that they've caught a whale and not just a big fish, and there's no time. There's no time to reel it in. I'm sorry, buddy. You go fishing, you pull up what you pull up.
And that's an interesting way. The whale's too big.
I mean, they can't.
We're going to need a bigger investigative boat.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that history is conspiring against you.
Yeah.
But this is what you have to do.
I guess the thing that I wonder here's another question that Mark Murray and I were tackling, which is the entire Republican Party is united around one message right now in protecting the president. But the Democratic Party, Kimberly Atkins, is not. The Democratic presidential candidates get off of impeachment. If you thought he needed to be removed from office immediately, isn't the move saying nobody campaign for 3 weeks while you watch the hearings?
You think that that's what
right?
would
like,
be.
Should that have been the move?
Maybe, perhaps, because that's one thing that they, more or less, the candidates all said, yes, I'm for impeachment, and then they,
and
moved,
then they
on
moved on
to start talking about
back
healthcare.
Away, don't
and
campaign.
And they left all of that back in Washington, and they're off talking about different
now Kamala
things.
Harris has time to do that.
Well, you have more people.
I hate to jump ahead, but now she has time to
jump ahead.
But yes, that has,
spoiler alert.
I'm sorry.
That has been the play, and you still have Democrats saying, oh, we don't want to talk about impeachment on the, people want to talk about
this. Sending the message
correct.
That it isn't the existential threat that Adam Schiff believes it is.
But Republicans are sending the message that this is
a coup.
Way, this
yeah.
is a coup. This is a way to upend the 2016 election and to try to stop the 2020 election. And for a lot of people, that seems reasonable enough. And I think a lot of Republicans are buying that.
But I think you really hit the nail on the head in terms of the candidates versus the elected members in the House. Because the elected members in the House don't seem to be talking to their districts. They seem to be talking to us, okay? And the candidates are out there trying to speak to the American people. If they are on a different message than the House of Representatives, what does that tell us about what the American people think?
That's just an important thing to end on and think about. I it's a question I think we've been asking over and over again. The presidential candidates aren't on the same message. That's a problem.
Bingo. So in other words, you have a handful of Democrats that are driving this thing, but the national Democrats aren't on the same subject matter. And I actually will go so far to say that some of the crazy stuff that they've come up with is why they got no traction out of this. I mean, why put Kamala Harris up in a position of honor if her first thing she's talking about, and she did this little obnoxious tweet today, I'll see you in the Senate during the hearing, Mr. President.
Whatever.
I'm just sorry. That whole thing of Meet the Press Daily, that spoke volumes to me of how bad things are going. Let's go to Papa B. Papa B, welcome aboard.
Hey, Dan and Joey.
How are you on this gorgeous day?
Oh, man. It's a beautiful day up here at Willow Point on Lake Martin.
What are you doing up at Willow Point?
I'm looking at houses up here, man. Just looking at houses.
There's some pretty ones.
Seeing how the other half, oh my gosh. Just beautiful up here. I've said this.
Have you ever been to the Scrooge house up there?
I can't say that I have.
It's the biggest one on the biggest one on Willow Point.
Yeah. I mean, I know where it is, but I don't think I've ever been out there, to that house.
I went to a party there. It is something.
Well, I've said this before, but no matter where you are in Alabama, if you're on Lake Martin, you're just a little bit closer to heaven.
Absolutely. Amen to that.
It's fantastic up here. But anyway, I love all your callers. Cooper one time, gave me down the road, admonished me for not sticking to one subject. I was having, this wild, rangy kind of
Yeah, you had that ADD moment. We were going to put you on Ritalin.
Yeah, I did, So I just got a message for Cooper today. They ran out of lithium at the cafeteria, and so they didn't put any in my scrambled eggs. I felt a wild and rangy conversation coming on.
Okay. Audience, stand by.
You're strap in. Buckle up. Hey, about Becky, Garrison there, calling in about the Common Core.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, you said you put your finger on it. Why are the people that are pushing this so wedded to ramming it through, and they can't see any other direction, all right? So when I see that, taxpayers in Alabama are being forced to get something that they don't like and doesn't work, I'll bet you an RC and a moon pie that there is money involved somewhere along the line. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a combination of money, but I think there's another thing, is you've got a group of educrats. That's why I asked the question the way I did. Where did this come from within the Department of Education, State of Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever been in that building. I don't know if you know anything about that building. Mm-hmm. I have worked with those people before.
Yeah.
It is a fiefdom all into itself.
And
it is the most bureaucratic, corrupt place you can be. It's all about power. It's all about me maintaining my job. And if my job is Common Core, then I want to maintain my job. You take Common Core away, you take my job away, I'm pissed off.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you get back, the original premise of my statement,
it's power and money.
Somewhere along the line, is power and money. And the most tin-eared bunch of folks you have ever seen in your life. They are tapped into the Washington dollars and the Washington speak of the National Department of Education. They couldn't care less about what we have to put up with the decisions that they make. They couldn't care less, Dan. I remember, when Common Core was first introduced, my son was in middle school, and I'm telling you, a bigger bunch of confusion you will never want to see.
Yeah, I'm with you.
We had to spend hours and hours just to try to figure it out on our own before we could even help our son at night after we're bone tired learn how to do math, simple basic math. And after 10 years now, we know it doesn't work. I knew it didn't work then. I could have saved them a lot of time and money. But they don't care. They literally don't care. And the politicians that are being driven by the bureaucracy needs to stop in their tracks, turn around, and go the other way. Because it is totally unhelpful to the people of Alabama, certainly to the kids of Alabama.
Let me tell you a story. I had a teacher who was pretty high up in the education system, public education. She left, mm-hmm. and she is in a private, well-known private school here in Montgomery. And I got to know her, and she said, the whole purpose of Common Core was full employment and full power for teachers. You had to have a teacher, a person who held the key to how you needed to understand that, and that was the teacher. And that was the only person you could go to. And he said it was. She said it was the biggest power play that happened in the world. Now she said, now you take kids at say Montgomery Academy or St. James or Trinity, they are so far ahead in standard testing that when you get up into 10th grade and you're taking PSAT the SAT, they are just knocking it off the charts compared to everybody else. And SAT is a comparative score. You're comparing yourself to everybody else in the universe.
Sure, yeah. Well, my kids came out of a private school into public school, and both of them were like 2 years ahead. At least a year ahead in most courses, and in some courses they were actually farther than a year ahead than the rest of the students that they were in school with. They were immediately put into the advanced curriculum, but that still wasn't a challenge enough. So, it should be obvious to anybody that what they're doing doesn't work. But again, they just don't care. Down at the Department of Education, they just plain don't care. The education system is about the teachers. It's not about the students.
Absolutely.
It's about the bureaucracy. It's not about the students. They don't care. This is their jobs program, and by God, you're just going to have to get along with it. So, anyway, off that soapbox, but next on.
Okay, let me answer. You brought it up. I've got to ask questions. So they went from private school to public school. Or have they left public school? Are they in college, or where are they now?
Yeah, they're in college now. Yep. And in fact, the grammar skills that they learned in private school were like hammered into them deeply and helped them all the way through. You know, it's just helped them all the way. Grammar and spelling and math. But Lord have mercy, when they got to that Common Core math, it just discombobulated everything.
Yeah.
That was the most ridiculous bunch of garbage I ever saw in my life. Something that looked like something that had come out of straight out of communist China just to, you know, confuse people. But anyway.
Well, it's trying to make everybody the same, and it's for... It's basically going back to a very 1920s, 1930s concept, but we're trying to teach everybody how to be good workers so they can go be on the assembly line and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, here's the thing. If you don't have fundamentals, I remember when I was in school, you were in school, you know, we would get the multiplication table, and it was rote memory.
Oh, yeah.
All the way through, rote memory. Multiplication, addition, you'd have the flashcards. And, I mean, just bing, bang, boom. That you have to develop those fundamentals before you can really advance into something else. And this holistic worldview, you know, we got to kind of get in a context for math. Until you understand those fundamentals, until you get them down in your brain, it just plain it makes it infinitely more difficult for a kid. And then, of course, for the parents who are just bone tired after days of work, to try to help them. So anyway.
Yeah, Joey, that tough day at work up at the lake.
Oh, so difficult. I know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, honey, I've been having a whirlpool point all day. It's been tough. I'm dragging.
I'm just going to sit on the back porch of this guy's house. Think about it.
Yeah, I bet you've never done that, have you?
Honey, do you know how difficult it is to just lie perfectly still in the sun and
relax?
I know,
right there.
I've been trying.
It's hard. Look, you don't understand how much time it takes just to relax your mind.
You know, so you can do a good appraisal.
Feel the breeze and feel the sun.
So you can do a good appraisal.
Have you got time for me to say something else?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So this... hearing that Nadler's doing. You know, the Democrats, they never have had anything except opinion and innuendo and a livid hatred for Donald Trump.
Amen.
They thought that they were going to just have a 1970-style Nixon, you know, impeachment where everybody was glued to their TV set and, you know, Schiff was going to have that phone call that was mysteriously back in the background, you know, that Donald Trump made, and he didn't release it, and, you know, oh, all of a sudden, boom, we've got a copy of it, and now this is the big evidence, this is the big bomb drop, you know, and so Trump, basically, he just destroyed their whole thing when he released the transcript of the phone call. He destroyed their whole premise, because they were just counting on it. They were counting on that. So, you know, now they're left with just keep on keeping on trying to find something. Nothing's working for them, Dan.
No, and let me tell you, well, here's the problem. They thought they were going to put on a show that the American public was going to buy it because the press was going to carry the water for them. The problem is Jerry Nadler is not a likable guy. Adam Schiff is clearly not a likable guy. And when they got their witnesses up there, they could not deliver. Just like today, they could not deliver.
Right. And this reporter that you just had on, well, the American people think this and the American people think that. Well, maybe so, but, you know, it sounds like she's doing a whole lot of projecting of her own feelings about what she thinks the American people think. I think the American people think that this is a bunch of baloney.
I agree with that.
Why are we, I mean, you know, instead of trying to say, okay, she's issuing talking points from the echo chamber. Well, the American people know he's corrupt, but no, they don't, because they have no evidence of it. They have no evidence of anything like that. And so the reason it's not going anywhere is not because there's, you know, the American people think this or that. The American people, I don't believe, are engaged because they don't think anything.
Well, they think this is El Toro poo-poo is what they think.
Exactly. So I don't appreciate somebody trying to project on me their own ideas of what I think.
I haven't learned that about you.
So anyway, all right. That's
okay.
The end of
okay.
The show
so talk, do guys. This. Do this on your way home. Okay. Go to Cotton's and get yourself some barbecue. Okay. Take it back to the house that you're appraising. Set it on the deck and eat it.
Okay. That sounds like a plan.
Either that or go to Kalaja. They yeah, they're still open during this time of the year, aren't they?
I think so. Yeah, they are, as a matter of fact. The steaks that they serve out there are real good, too. So
hey, their onion wings and their crab claws are great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll meet you up there in about 45 minutes.
All right.
Thanks, Papa B. Drive safe on the way home.
All right.
Going to be back with St. James right after this.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Alabama Home Mortgage is in the business of saving you money. Hey there, I'm Kim Williams along with Madeline Cannon. Figuring out new ways to stretch your mortgage dollar is what we do at Alabama Home Mortgage.
Here's the deal. Getting started is as simple as dialing 567-4223. In fact, why not try doing that right now?
You'll be amazed at the amount of cash you can save. So please, don't wait any longer. Call 567-4223 right now.
A retired Air Force pilot in Pike Road was experiencing some turbulence with his money, so he called Alabama Home Mortgage to see what we could do to help.
We lowered his monthly payment by $587, reduced his term by 5 whole years, and allowed him to skip 2 mortgage payments. With Alabama Home Mortgage as his co-pilot, he was able to soar to new financial heights.
Take advantage of today's low rates and reduce your monthly burden much sooner than you thought ever possible.
10 minutes is all it takes to find out how much you can save.
Let us show you the Alabama Home Mortgage difference.
Call 567-4223 or visit us at alahomemortgage.com to apply today. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
That's what we are.
So light is out to get your lady.
Let's go to the phones, boys and girls. Let's go to St. James. St. James, how are you and how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good, Dan. I had too much ham. I kind of needed the turkey.
Yeah?
We did the honey-baked ham.
Ooh, those honey-baked hams are great. Did you have to stand?
Very, very good.
Did you have to stand in line for that bad boy?
Oh, yeah. 2 years ago, I had to go to Auburn, matter of fact.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, people tell me that. Don't go to the Montgomery one. Go, you know, there's one on south side of Birmingham. They said you'll actually be faster driving up there. I didn't know there was one in Auburn.
Yes. We had to go to Auburn. That's Auburn or... No, I'm pretty sure it was Auburn off the main strip there.
I got to remember that.
Yeah. But, Dan, I wanted to kind of piggyback on the last caller.
Peppa B?
I know him from, I always call him from his old moniker. Papa B. I kind of beg to differ after today. Dan, I mean, this was no deep state up there. These were sworn law professors talking that this did rise to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors. And I just, my opinion, I beg to differ. I think the Republicans and Trump in particular has a lot to worry about right now. So...
We'll say in the fullness of time, you know, every one of the ones that said it rises to that had said before that he should have been impeached. And I'm talking about, like, when I say before, I'm talking about years before this.
You mean the professors up there?
Correct.
All professors?
Yeah, one wrote a book called Impeachment.
Right. Well, Dan, my question is, why would Trump be suspect after dodging the Mueller investigation? I don't see how you can slip that easily. But, you know, we're talking about Donald Trump. So,
what do you mean slip that easily? I'm sorry, I'm not following you.
Why would he make a phone call like that? The circumspect, the suspect.
Well, then you think that the phone call was bad then?
Yes. Why would he reference quid pro quo to begin with?
He didn't. What did he say that was quid pro quo?
He said, I want no quid pro quo. Why would he even say that? I'm not saying that was...
You're talking about the conversation summary.
Right. But it was implicit. Giuliani was doing this bidding for the quid pro quo. I mean, it's easy to see.
You don't know that, St. James. You don't know any of that.
Yes,
you,
I do know
no,
that.
No, you
Dan.
Don't. You're assuming.
That's what was,
you're assuming.
No, I'm not assuming. That's evidence. Did you see?
Give me the evidence of that, St. James.
Give you the evidence of what?
Of that Rudy Giuliani was doing, quote, the bidding. Rudy Giuliani was over there in April. The telephone call happened. He wasn't even elected at that time. So when the hell are you talking about, St. James? You don't even have your timeline right.
I don't need my timeline right, Dan.
Yeah, you do if you're going to make an accusation like that. Have evidence.
I do have evidence.
Give it to me, St. James.
Okay, Dan. Well, listen, Dan. You can talk all the water you want to. I don't understand Trump's...
I'm just asking you for evidence.
I don't understand his... particular kind of stupidity, but I do admire his total commitment to it.
Ah, there you go. So
have a good
when
day.
You don't have anything, insult. That's what you do. You insult. That's exactly right. You didn't have it, St. James. You said evidence. You don't have any evidence. I asked you to put it up there. You said Rudy. Rudy was over there in April before Lewinsky was even the president. Man.
You said Lewinsky.
So.
Come on, Dan.
Boutrous.
Come on.
It's not just about
sex. All right.
Let's go to a break. Coming back. Going to be back right after this.
Your news talk place to be. Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV. What they doing?
News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Hi, this is Danny with High Caliber Gun and Fun. November, we'll be celebrating 10 years doing business in the River Region, and Blue Water Broadcasting has been an integral part of that 10 years. High Caliber Gun and Fun, we say we are a step above the rest, and Blue Water Broadcasting definitely is that step.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
This is a Fox News Alert. I'm Lillian Wu. History lessons on the Hill today from experts at the first House Judiciary Committee impeachment hearing.
Louis XIV, who was a bit of a recidivist when it came to bribes, gave Charles II a huge amount of money.
That's Professor Jonathan Turley of George Washington University, who believes that impeachment might be premature. Another witness also talking monarchs.
The president has attacked each of the Constitution's safeguards against establishing a monarchy in this country.
UNC Law School professor Michael Gerhardt is one of three constitutional experts recommending impeachment.
Fox's Jared Halpern. And some changes could be coming to Virginia, which is taking steps toward dropping requirements that new Medicaid enrollees have a job and pay part of their premiums. America's listening to Fox News.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at MontgomerySubaru.com. Montgomery Subaru.
Rich Thomas Weather. Well, hi, everybody. After a cold start to this week, we have a little warming trend to look forward to. Today, a good bit of sunshine, high temperature around 63. That's a start. Tonight will be chilly, but not quite as cold as last night, overnight low 38. Tomorrow, a little warmer, middle 60s, dry, mostly sunny. Chance of showers late Thursday night, but a better chance of rain on Friday. And then over the weekend, highs in the 60s, dry Saturday, maybe a couple of showers around on Sunday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
.279-228, that's where we are. The outlandish Dan Morris Show. Okay, we're going to go back and we're going to play the Jonathan Turley opening statement, which I thought was excellent. This guy was a home run all the way around. He makes the case so well, particularly in comparison to the others.
Ranking Member Collins, members of the Judiciary Committee, it's an honor to appear before you today to discuss one of the most consequential functions you were given by the framers, and that is the impeachment of a president of the United States. 21 years ago, I sat before you, Chairman Nadler, and this committee to testify at the impeachment of President William Jefferson Clinton. I never thought that I would have to appear a second time to address the same question with regard to another sitting president. Yet here we are. The elements are strikingly similar. The intense rancor and rage of the public debate is the same. The atmosphere that the framers anticipated, the stifling intolerance of opposing views is the same. I'd like to start, therefore, perhaps incongruously, by stating an irrelevant fact. I'm not a supporter of President Trump. I voted against him. My personal views of President Trump are as irrelevant to my impeachment testimony as they should be to your impeachment vote. President Trump will not be our last president, and what we leave in the wake of this scandal will shape our democracy for generations to come. I'm concerned about lowering impeachment standards to fit a paucity of evidence and an abundance of anger. I believe this impeachment not only fails to satisfy the standard of past impeachments, but would create a dangerous precedent for future impeachments. My testimony lays out the history of impeachment from early English cases to colonial cases to the present day. The early impeachments were raw political exercises using fluid definitions of criminal and non-criminal acts. When the framers met in Philadelphia, they were quite familiar with impeachment and its abuses, including the Hastings case, which was discussed in the convention, a case that was still pending for trial in England. Unlike the English impeachments, the American model was more limited, not only in its application to judicial and executive officials, but its grounds. The framers rejected a proposal to add maladministration because Madison objected that so vague a term would be equivalent to a tenure during the pleasure of the Senate. In the end, various standards that had been used in the past were rejected. Corruption, obtaining office by improper means, betraying the trust of a foreign power, negligence, perfidy, peculation, and oppression. Perfidy or lying and peculation, self-dealing, are particularly relevant to our current controversy. My testimony explores the impeachment cases of Nixon, Johnson, and Clinton. The closest of these three cases is to the 1868 impeachment of Andrew Johnson. It is not a model or an association that this committee should relish. In that case, a group of opponents of the president, called the Radical Republicans, created a trapdoor crime in order to impeach the president. They even defined it as a high misdemeanor. There was another shared aspect besides the atmosphere of that impeachment and also the unconventional style of the two presidents. And that shared element is speed. This impeachment would rival the Johnson impeachment as the shortest in history, depending on how one counts the relevant days. Now, there are three distinctions when you look at these, or three commonalities when you look at these past cases. All involved established crimes. This would be the first impeachment in history where there would be considerable debate, and in my view, not compelling evidence of the commission of a crime. Second is the abbreviated period of this investigation, which is problematic and puzzling. This is a facially incomplete and inadequate record in order to impeach a president. Allow me to be candid in my closing remarks because we have limited time. We are living in the very period described by Alexander Hamilton, a period of agitated passions. I get it. You're mad. The president's mad. My Republican friends are mad. My Democratic friends are mad. My wife is mad. My kids are mad. Even my dog seems mad. And Luna's a golden doodle, and they don't get mad. So we're all mad. Where has that taken us? Will a slipshod impeachment make us less mad? Will it only invite an invitation for the madness to follow every future administration? That is why this is wrong. It's not wrong because President Trump is right. His call was anything but perfect. It's not wrong because the House has no legitimate reason to investigate the Ukrainian controversy. It's not wrong because we're in an election year. There is no good time for an impeachment. No, it's wrong because this is not how you impeach an American president. This case is not a case of the unknowable. It's a case of the peripheral. We have a record of conflicts, defenses that have not been fully considered, unsubpoenaed witness with material evidence. To impeach a president on this record would expose every future president to the same type of inchoate impeachment. Principle often takes us to a place we would prefer not to be. That was the place seven Republicans found themselves in the Johnson trial, when they saved a president from acquittal that they despised. For generations, they've been celebrated as profiles of courage. Senator Edmund Ross said it was like looking down into his open grave. Then he jumped because he didn't have any alternative. It's easy to celebrate those people from the distance of time and circumstance. In an age of rage, it's appealing to listen to those saying, forget the definitions of crimes, just do it. Like this is some impulse buy Nike sneaker. You can certainly do that. You can declare the definitions of crimes alleged are immaterial and just an exercise of politics, not the law. However, those legal definitions and standards, which I've addressed in my testimony, are the very thing that divide rage from reason. This all brings up to me, and I will conclude with this, of a scene from A Man for All Seasons with Sir Thomas More when his son-in-law, William Roper, suggested that More was putting the law ahead of morality. He said More would give the devil the benefit of the law. When More asks Roper, would he instead cut a great road through the law to get after the devil? Roper proudly declares, yes. I'd cut down every law of England to do that. More responds, and when the last law is cut down and the devil turned around on you, where would you hide, Roper, all the laws being flat? He said, this country is planted thick with laws from coast to coast, man's laws, not God's. And if you cut them down and you're just the man to do it, do you really think you could stand upright in the winds that would blow then? And he finished by saying, yes, I'd give the devil the benefit of the law for my own sake. So I will conclude with this. Both sides of this controversy have demonized the other to justify any measure in their defense, much like Roper. Perhaps that's the saddest part of all of this. We have forgotten the common article of faith that binds each of us to each other in our Constitution. However, before we cut down the trees so carefully planted by the framers, I hope you will consider what you will do when the wind blows again, perhaps for a Democratic president. Where will you stand then when all the laws being flat? Thank you again for the honor of testifying today, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Outstanding. That was absolutely outstanding. And when he gets down to his time with the Republicans, which we'll try to get into, is really good. Let's go to Boathead. Boathead, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Dan, I don't even know what to say after listening to that speech. That was so true. I don't even know what to think about it. One day the Republicans will again hold that side of the legislature, and you know there's such a there's a precedent going on right now. I mean, they're opening up the floodgates of next time, like you said. I mean, what happens whenever the Republicans, hopefully they have enough stance not to pull this trigger, but I mean it is just undermining the whole governance. I mean, I just don't understand. I don't get it. I don't.
But I tell you what, if everybody could listen to the John Turley speech, Jonathan Turley, it would change the election in a heartbeat. It would take the Democrats out of power if they listened to him and then they voted on this to impeach him.
Gosh, man, it's so that I was sitting there listening to it, and it's almost. I don't know. I mean, you have to reflect onto what's happening regardless of what side of the aisle you lean on, because it is so true what he said. Everything he said, it was not partisan what he was saying. It was just depending on, you know, what it doesn't even matter. It will matter one day because the winds will change. So what floodgates have been opened by what's happening right now?
Because exactly what he said that talked about Hamilton is they're doing it for political reasons.
Yeah. And the framers always,
I think that because of what they saw in England, you know, all of these things had happened on that side of the pond. They tried their best to keep it from happening here. And, you know, our Constitution reflects that. Yet, it took 200 years, but here we are. We're pretty much the same place that England was 200 years ago, or things that happened before that. It's kind of sad to just watch it unfold. But my question to you, Dan, is when are we going to see anything come out of the Department of Justice regarding all the other investigations that are going on in our government?
Well, Monday is the big day. Monday is the first day. That's when the IG report is dropped. And then Wednesday, the IG testifies before the Senate Judiciary. Then we don't know about Durham, though I have a feeling that's going to be somewhere in the end of January, depending on what he has gathered.
Well, Dan, I've been waiting for it, and I hope that we see something come out of it, because it just keeps... It seems like over the past few months that all these things have been unfolding, yet we don't see any, any end game to it. There's no, there's nothing being thrown out there as far as not impeachments, but, you know, as far as any kind of indictments or anything like that. That the public has been held privy to. So I'm kind of curious about that.
Yeah, well, like I've told you and others before, this is a big deal, and you got to get it right. And don't expect that the IG report is going to be a slam dunk. It's going to be a roadmap that's going to get you to the slam dunk.
Well, I hope that slam dunk comes one day, Dan. I hope so, man. I appreciate you.
Me too. You have a great
one. I look forward to it.
Thanks, my friend. Let's go to a break and come back to Sam right after this.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell, afternoons 3 to 6, on the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
If you have a pool, you know about needing help with it from time to time. I have found that company for you, Fagan Pool Service. They're a Regal Chemical dealer. They've been in business over 40 years. Regal Chemicals are the very top of the line. This is family-owned, father-son duo. They handle all repairs such as pool liners, pumps, motors, filters, salt generators, leak detection, you name it. American-run by two veterans, so you can trust they know the importance of hard work, dedication, and integrity.
Has your pool lost its fun? We keep you in the swim of things. Call 201-1819, 201-1819, Fagan Pool Service.
Hello, everybody. This is Doug Singleton with Bernie Office Solutions. Since 1963, Bernie has been the Montgomery-grown document technology leader in the River Region. During our 55 years, we have seen a lot of copier companies come and go. That's when we do more than just offer our clients copiers. We offer a diverse portfolio, including document capture and storage, digitizing your paper-based processes, and software to manage costs. Call me on my cell at 201-0199 and ask me about our managed print program where we can cut your printing costs in half. 201-0199.
The River Region's first and only news talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
This is where we are. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Sam. Sam, welcome aboard.
Yeah. First off, can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, I'm out here on 231 in the middle of nowhere. You know, I really do just resent this whole
on television, and this ongoing racket and whatnot. I think I've told you that before, but the man asked the question, what about the future? And these people, you know, it's just self-evident. They absolutely do not care about the future. It's only right now is important. Get him out. Let's get him, get something. And anyways, how it's starting to affect me is that it's messing up my mother's television, daytime television. And just because she has a DVR but doesn't know how to use it, and so she's not happy about her stories coming on in the middle of the night. I just thought I'd share that with you.
So you're paying the toll.
Yeah, but that might be part of it. It's to try to wear the public out and upset enough, because there's a segment that's like, well, they wouldn't be doing this if he wouldn't give this up. Yeah.
Or it's going to make them so mad they're going to revolt against them.
I think there's as good a chance of that as anything else. But I just thought that was, and I had to set that DVR. And just anyway, that was all on my mind. And I'm enjoying the show. How about that?
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Sam.
And I'll talk to y'all later.
Take care. Let's go to Cooper. Cooper, welcome aboard the Damo Ship.
Hey, Dan.
How are you?
I'm doing good, just crossing the Kalijah Bridge.
Well, don't run into Papa B there.
Okay, I'll try not to. I called in back during the mayoral race and criticized Charles Wood's campaign manager for those silly ads he ran. And now I'm starting to think that same guy must be running Jeff Colbert's campaign.
Why do you say that?
Well, have you heard the ads from Jeff Coleman's wife? The radio ad?
Yeah, where she says, I'm running out of time.
And then the next one is just about as bad. They sound so silly. And I'm part of the guy. Something else I don't understand. He is running a lot of TV ads. Isn't it 11 months till the election?
No, the primary is in March, and whoever wins that primary will win the election.
Oh, okay, well, yeah, I did not think about the primary. That's right. Well, he sure is running a lot of ads, but I mean, he's got
a lot of money. I mean, he's got a lot.
Yeah, he does. And I don't know him personally. I know one of his brothers who's a wonderful person, and that's why I'm supporting Jeff mainly, just because of his brother. But doggone, do they think these silly ads work? Maybe they do on some people.
Well, when he first started them, I thought it was a good way of introducing himself, but I thought the same thing about the Tim James commercials when he first did it. And I thought he was going to move to something with more substance. Coleman's needs to move into the substantive world.
Makes sense.
Exactly. I'm sure his wife's a wonderful person, but she comes across too smarmy.
The wife does?
Yeah, I mean, she comes across too sugar sweet, you know, like, oh, he was picking weeds and when he was 12 years. I mean, come on. Let him come on and talk like a man and just say, here's what I would like to do. I would be so happy to hear a politician do that.
Well, we'll see what happens with him. We're going to try to get him on the show. I'm talking to somebody to their campaign through somebody, and I'm kind of shooting for a January time frame.
Hey, you know what? Maybe it's me.
Maybe so. It's not the dog food; it's the dog.
There you go. Okay, Dan. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Cooper. Appreciate it. Let's see the cuts there, big guy. Which way we want to go here? Let's do, since we're kind of ending out this hour, let's do Peter Ducey on the campaign trail. Harris dropping out. Oh, I'm sad.
In tonight's Democracy 2020 segment, one of the candidates considered a rising star in the Democratic Party and a legitimate contender for the presidency is out tonight. California Senator Kamala Harris suspended her campaign today over a lack of funding. This comes as deep-pocketed Mike Bloomberg campaigns in Mississippi tonight. Correspondent Peter Ducey reports from Jackson.
as billionaire Michael Bloomberg brings his brand new campaign to Mississippi.
This city and state haven't got as much attention from other presidential candidates.
Kamala Harris is bowing out.
My campaign for president simply does not have the financial resources to continue.
Emailing supporters, quote, I'm not a billionaire. I can't fund my own campaign. There was no sign this was coming 7 days ago at Harris headquarters in Iowa.
And from Thanksgiving to caucus day, does anything change, or are you just going to...
We're just pushing through.
That night, Harris made 100 calls to 100 organizers in the state, trying to preserve a campaign that started with a massive 20,000-person rally in California and generated buzz with a swing at Biden.
You also worked with them to oppose busing.
But today, no hard feelings.
I have mixed emotions about her because she is really a solid, solid person.
The person's on the way out is always the solid, solid person. She was going to have Newsom, the governor of California, campaign in Iowa for her this weekend. But that was kind of a surprise to Gavin. Let's continue on with Peter Ducey, campaign trail, talking about Biden attacks Mayor Pete, and then the report on Bloomberg.
Biden apparently thinks less of candidates still in the race, like Mayor Pete Buttigieg, whom he accused of ripping off his health care plan. In an off-camera interview with print reporters, Biden said about Buttigieg, he stole it.
I was the first guy to come out with the plan to build on Obamacare.
Buttigieg believes Biden's complaints are off base.
I've been talking about Medicare for all who want it since at least February. And also, the plans are not exactly the same.
Biden is also quoted in various reports as claiming voters are more enthusiastic about him than one rival. Quote, you don't see that with Warren. Stop kidding a kidder, okay? The same report forecasts what Biden thinks would follow a win in Iowa. Quote, I think it's awful hard to stop me from winning the nomination. If I were to come in, like some of the polling has shown, 5 points behind, 3 points behind, or 7 points behind, I think I survive. But despite Biden's confidence, Michael Bloomberg tells Fox News, early state results won't change his strategy.
So far, to the best of my knowledge, nobody in this country has yet voted.
We followed Bloomberg here to Mississippi to see what you get for more than $57 million worth of TV ads after a week and a half on the air. And it's not a rally filled with noisy and excited primary voters, but it is a quiet conversation with 19 local leaders closed to the public.
That is not going to cut it.
No. I do appreciate Bloomberg's intelligence, but man, is he an unlikable guy. His intelligence goes to his own head too much. He falls in love with his own intelligence.
Well, he comes across just so snobby.
Yes.
Intellectually snobby. But if he's doing meetings with 19 people in Mississippi, and he's not, because if there's a guy who's not suited for a rally, it's Mike Bloomberg. He's suited for a board meeting, but not a rally. And then you can have a whole bunch of money, but it's only going to take you so far. Going to be back, final hour of the Dan Moore Show. Right after this.